Welcome to Table Talk, a place for honest conversations and getting to meet friends. I'm here with my dear friend, Jason Ryan.
Hey.
Who's here every single Table Talk. You just might not see him.
I'm on the wrong side of the camera today.
So you are on this is the right side of the camera. Jason is wonderful. He and I have been doing this for over a year and a half. Almost 2 years now, yeah. Which is crazy.
Yeah.
And so he's always behind the camera and making sure all the things and fixes it and puts it up and does all the stuff. So thanks.
Yeah.
It's fun.
Yeah, absolutely.
We have a good time getting to do this, which is really cool.
It is a lot of fun. We've had a great time just meeting people and hearing stories and unexpected things sometimes that you didn't even know coming into it. It's really cool.
Yeah.
So it's been a fun
experiment doing this.
So.
There's been a few times when I'm like, don't cry, you know, because of whatever the story you're, and I'm looking at Jason going, you, sir, don't cry either. Like, we all got to hold it together. But it's been a lot of fun.
It is
we
good.
Have a good time working
it
together.
Yep.
Just so people know, you've been at Sagemont your whole life.
Yep.
Forever. Forever and ever.
Yep.
Staff 33 years now?
It's 31 and a half-ish.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So here for a long time,
mm-hmm.
done lots of fun different things
mm-hmm.
all over the place. Yep. I always tell people, I'm like, listen, if you've been at Sagemont, like, for really any length of a while, but for any length of time, you know Jason probably from his back.
Yeah, the back of my head. From
with
a lot
his
of years.
Arms going like this, directing.
Yeah.
So you did the orchestra.
Did the orchestra for 27 years.
Yeah,
until the pandemic. So
yeah. A lot of our new people don't even know that.
Yeah,
we had an orchestra
once
and all
upon
this
time.
Stuff.
Yeah.
It's so funny the things that and people have been like, "Well, I've been here 5 years. How do I not know?"
Yeah,
I'm like,
no. It's been that long.
Yes.
That's crazy right there,
isn't that
too.
Wild?
So much changed in 2020.
So much changed. So much changed. And it's been 5 years. Yeah, I hadn't thought about that till just now. It's coming up March, spring break. This will be 5 years,
yeah, it
which
will.
Is super. That's super wild.
Yeah,
that's
it is.
Okay, gotta not go down that rabbit trail. But listen, Jason also right now, he's our online minister. And so if you ever get to watch online on Sunday mornings, he's helping keep everything straight. He's got sweet people that mm-hmm. work and help do all the different things. There's also online connect groups during the week.
Yep,
so if
week.
You're somebody that's like, I'm not able to be here every Sunday, I work shift work or whatever it may be, but I really want to connect with people, there are online connect mm-hmm. groups, 7 or 8 now.
Yeah, there's 8, plus we've got a precept study going on.
Yeah.
We'll have occasional other studies as, you know, each semester we'll try to do something different.
Yeah.
We've actually had quite a bit of growth in the online groups mm-hmm. in the last few weeks to where now I'm actually needing to add another group or
awesome.
Two, which is awesome. Yeah, it's been kind of stagnant for a while as people are figuring out what to do after 2020 and all that. But it's grown.
That's exciting.
And we're getting new ones just about every week.
Love it.
So it's really
I think that's really cool because Levi, you know, in the series that we just finished, he was you need to be in a connect group.
Right.
You need to be plugging into life-giving relationships. Even if you can't be here on campus on Sunday morning, there are online ways to do that.
And the funny thing is that my online group leaders, most of them are connected in person here on campus as well. They're group leaders in connect groups and such. But I think to the person, every one of them has told me that the relationships that they've created and built during the online groups are a lot of times stronger than the ones that are built here mm-hmm. on campus. I think it's a smaller group.
It's a smaller group.
One thing, everybody talks, which you don't necessarily get to do in a connect group. And we're not quite so limited by time as we are here.
You're not got to go here and got
to
do this.
Yeah, everybody's not in a hurry to get to the next thing. So it's really been a cool thing. Those are almost, those were 3 years old this month.
So fun.
Yeah.
So if that's you, go online. You can find those. Go to online. Those are under online,
It's under the Grow menu.
Okay,
just
Grow.
Along with the
other studies.
The on-campus connect groups and Tuesday and Wednesday things. Everything's under Grow, so go to the Grow menu.
Go to the Grow tab, and you can find those, which is super fun.
Yeah.
So you do that, but you also are our men's minister.
Yes, another hat.
Which is so fun. And as the women's ministry director, we've gotten to partner in a couple of things, mm-hmm. work together on a few things over the last couple of years as you have stepped into that position.
Yep.
And one of the things that we've gotten to do just recently was we traveled to Kenya together.
We did, and it was a lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun. I was super glad that you came
on
the trip.
Me too.
For those that might not know, women's ministry has been traveling to Kenya since 2015, January, each year in January since 2015. We miss a couple of years, COVID. But we go and we partner with an organization called New Hope Initiative, and it is a ministry. They have ministries kind of all over the place, not just in Kenya, different places around the world, but specifically in Kenya, they have a school, and they that's also feeding the students. And then they also have a group there called Project Biashara, and this is a group of women, and that's why our women go and partner with this group of women there. They make jewelry. I made sure to wear some today. They make jewelry, they make bags, they make beaded things. I mean, all kinds of different products. They make those. We take extra suitcases over filled with the things we'll need while we're there. And then on the way back, we fill all those suitcases with Biashara product, bring it back here, and then it's sold all over the United States, different places. And 100% of the money from those products goes back to Biashara for them to really be able cool. to provide for their kids. Yeah. Because where the school is in Nairobi, where Biashara is in Kibera. So we're in Nairobi, mm-hmm. but it's Kibera. And Kibera is about 1 square mile with about 1 million people. And it basically is a dump mm-hmm. that they have built homes on and they live there. It's, I think, the second largest slum in the world right now. It's so interesting because I'm so curious because it was your first time going. It is one of my favorite places in the entire world to go. I would choose that over most places to get to go. And it's interesting to me now because when I walk up to it, I don't smell the smell like I used to. I don't see the trash like I did. Like, it has gotten to a point where I'm like, no, this is where my friends live and this is where they are.
That's awesome.
And I just know that's over time. I've done it. I've been there enough times that it really has just become, it's the people.
Yeah.
But I think it's also so interesting for new people. Because I know when we first started going, like, we would put Vicks under our nose because the smell would be so overwhelming.
Yeah, it's a pretty welcoming thing. Yeah. I mean, it's the first thing that kind of hits you as you walk in, that and you cross a little river to get into the school area and into Kibera proper, and a lot of trash and stuff. So it's, you know, it's not the Chamber of Commerce look and feel at all.
No. They don't have a sewer system. They don't have a trash system. They don't, I mean, everything's just put, I mean, it literally is the world's second largest slum. It's think of as bad as you think that could be, and that's exactly what it is. 10 homes, mud homes with 10 roofs, very small spaces where multiple generations live together in very small homes. And we get to go and spend time with the kids that live in that community, with the women of Biashara that we love so much, and just have gotten to be great friends with them. It's been cool going as long as I've gone to see the women grow and change in the Lord, their knowledge of the Lord, their love for Him, their truth, trust in who He is over the years has been really cool to see how many of them have come to know the Lord in our years of getting to go over with them and see them. It's just been so exciting to see their kids grow, how they now, because they've been a part of Biashara, they're able to take care of their kids. They are able to help provide for their families. It's been really, really sweet. This time, we always, when we go in January, we usually throw them a big Christmas party because they don't get Christmas parties. This year, we threw them a birthday party, changing it up. They don't get birthday parties either. And all 30 of the Biashara women have a pen pal here at Sagemont. 30 women here at Sagemont are pen pals with those ladies, and a lot of them have been since we very first started going. And we always take some kind of gift for them. And this year we got them brand new Swahili Bibles.
Yeah, that was pretty fun.
Oh, y'all, we got them Swahili Bibles, I think, in maybe 2016, one time when we went. So it had been a few years. And last year when we were there, they were like, we need, because I always ask them, what do y'all want? You know, what would be a great gift? And they're like, new Bibles.
Yeah.
Watching them receive these Bibles was just the most cool thing, to see the joy and excitement. And then talking to them afterwards and saying, y'all understand that in America, most people have multiple Bibles in their home.
Yeah.
A lot of them sit on a shelf and nobody touches them.
Absolutely. And that was kind of amazing. I saw as we went into homes, we saw a couple of Bibles, and let me tell you, their Bibles don't look like our Bibles in most cases because they're very well used.
Yes, very.
Very well used, and that's why they needed new ones.
Yeah. Yeah, because, I mean, they still had theirs. We've given them.
Right.
They were falling apart.
Yeah, absolutely.
They cling to those in a way that I wish... Living where we live in the time that we live, I think we have to be purposeful to do that.
Yeah.
And it's just so natural.
Absolutely.
To them. So we, the women, we've been going for a while. This summer when we were there, the New Hope Initiative did a church plant at the school, which was brand new and so exciting. And so they talked about it for a long time, and it happened. There's a church in Nairobi that's actually doing the church plant.
Yeah, it's called Hope Church.
Hope Church, which is super cool because it's a local ministry planting the church.
Right.
It's not a group in America planting a church and then we leave and nobody's there.
Right.
Like the way they've organized is really cool. Mm-hmm. And so in January... A group of guys got to come,
we got to go.
Which was so fun. We'd never done that before.
Right.
And y'all got to come and be a part of the church plant. Mm-hmm. Talk about that a little bit and just kind of in case, because listen, we're planning on going again in January, unless something crazy happens, you never know.
Yeah.
But man, if this is something that gets you excited, let us know.
Yeah, absolutely. So this church plant had been, they had been meeting for a few months, and they had probably about 30 or so, I think, or they'd built up to about 30 or so. The leadership of this church plant are all very young.
Yeah.
The pastor's he may be 40,
maybe,
but maybe not. But most of the guys are like young 20s, young to mid 20s, that are helping lead, and that's who we served with. There were six of us guys that went from Sagemont, and so we got to pair up with a Kenyan, or maybe two, and we went around the streets of Kibera just talking to people, sharing the gospel, inviting them to come to church on Sunday. We went early enough that we had a couple of days before a Sunday service, so we were trying to get some of them to come visit the church and check it out. And man, we had such a great time just building a brotherhood with the Kenyan guys. Again, most of them are young, so even if they had had a little bit of experience, they're not, you know, old enough to have a lot of years of experience behind them. So kind of getting to work with them, training them a little bit, but they were also training us a little bit as we got to experience the culture there in Nairobi and in Kibera. And just getting to share was super cool. We ended up with about 100 or so in church on that Sunday. Mm-hmm. So that for them, that was a good thing.
It was
that
huge,
was a spike. We ended up talking with, we try to keep count, talked with 759 people, men and women, along the streets of Kibera. Of those, 148 prayed to receive Jesus, so that was awesome.
Yeah, that's cool.
But the amazing thing to me that really stuck out to me and kind of planted a seed in me was there, of the other 600 that didn't pray to receive Jesus, for the most part, they all said they knew Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
They said they had already accepted him, but they're not plugged into a church. They're not taking their next steps. So for me, in the next step mindset that we've got here, it's like, okay, well, what's your next step? We need to work on that next time. So, you know, as we talk about our next trip, that's going to be top of my mind is what is the next step to help these folks? Because if they know Jesus, then awesome. Well, there's a huge army of people that say they know Jesus. Right. What are they doing with him? And what are they doing to grow? And what are they doing to train disciples in their area?
Yeah.
And, I mean... They live right on top of their neighbors, so
they do.
You know,
right there.
The field is huge and ready for harvest.
Yeah.
So
that's one of my, I think, my favorite things about how Sagemont does missions and has for years is we want to go and share the gospel, but we also want to go and disciple those who have said yes.
Absolutely,
and that is, I think, especially here in Kibera because we have a long history with them. We've built relationship. They trust us when we come in because we have, so many of us have been coming for years, and just Sandy and Karen Baird, who are over the ministry, have been there since the beginning when the ministry very first started. They started the ministry there. Yeah. And it is one of those where it's like, hey, we want to make sure we're sharing the gospel. We want everybody to come to know the Lord. But the discipleship is exciting.
Yeah. And that's one of the things that y'all have been able to do because of your history with them. And we got to see that firsthand. The guys got to peek in a little bit. And one, the relationships that y'all have built, even just walking into the property, the school. Yes. We'll share this little video here.
So fun.
Hold on, let me find it.
It's cute. Listen, when we walk into the school, there's, I think, about 400-something students at the school. And
so this is what we're seeing as we walk into the building. The kids are just absolutely mobbing us. And it's not because, it's certainly not because of the guys, because this is our first time here, but it's because of these ladies and the reputation and the relationships that they've built up over the years. And they just absolutely, they're singing, they're hollering, they're, you know, throwing these lays, Hawaiian lay
tinsel lay things. Yep.
Just honest. Yeah. And they are just having a party. It's just the best thing. And it's really, really awesome. And then you go to their, we got to go into the ladies after they had worked with them a little bit. And for them, it's a family reunion, basically.
Absolutely. It is.
I mean, they're totally expecting them, welcoming them, anticipating what God's going to do while they're here. Mm-hmm. And it's just super cool. And so going into the BHR room. Where's that one?
It's so fun.
This one? Yeah.
Here's one
with the ladies singing and just having a grand old time. I mean, they're dressed up for them to welcome them. They're having just an awesome, awesome time singing and praising the Lord and looking forward to what's next. And Betsy and the team are very intentional about going with Bible studies prepared and ways to help them both while we're there as well as when we go back home.
Absolutely.
And so I hope that that's something that we can start doing, building up those relationships with some of the guys in the community so we can see that same kind of thing.
Absolutely.
And I mean, especially through the church there.
Yes. And it's so fun to think, you know, 10 years ago, the growth that we've seen in the ladies, I mean, in all of us, right, over a 10-year time span. But when we first were going, it was, we got to share that we're sharing the gospel. Mm-hmm. We are helping women take that first step with Jesus and encouraging them and talking with them about what does that do to your family? How do you go back into your community once you've accepted Jesus, and how does that work? And now what we're doing is showing them how to do quiet time so they can go show their families how to do quiet time. I mean, they are now the leaders in that community that are leading Bible studies.
Right. And y'all took the discipleship pathway that we just talked about with Levi, right?
Yeah, we did. So we did that with them. We taught them the Worship, Connect, Grow, Go. It works everywhere.
It does.
It's great.
It does.
And just showing them that to say, hey, now you can go out and do this. We do a community Bible study when we go. And we've done that every year that we've ever gone. And we have about 250 women from the community that will come. Biashara ladies will invite their friends and neighbors, and also just ladies that live around the school will come. And when we first started doing that, I would teach, we would bring worship, we would do all of it. Now the ladies are leading worship, they're leading out the prayer time, it's so cool to really get to see that discipleship over the years and where it can be. And now for the men.
Yeah.
Because through the years, we've had great relationship with the kids. Mm-hmm. And the summers, we have a team going this July, if you're interested, that actually goes into sports camp with the students. And so if you love playing with kids and running around doing sports, it's so fun. I've done it a few times with my girls. That's more of a family trip.
Yeah.
I mean, anybody can go, but it is one where we bring kids and they play, and it's so...
We like for kids to go.
Yes, absolutely. Love, because the Kibarik students love to have people their own age come.
Oh, absolutely.
They absolutely adore it.
Yeah.
And we do a sports camp with them and
your kids
play.
Would never be the same either.
No.
After doing that.
No.
That experience is huge for our kids.
Yes. Yeah. All four of my daughters have gone, and it is a marker in their life of, you know, just them getting to see from different perspectives. Mm-hmm. And it has marked their lives forever getting to do that. But so we have this relationship with the students because we've been doing sports camp for years and years and years too. Mm-hmm. And then we have this close relationship with the women because we've been going in January. And there was kind of this missing piece of the men.
And it's a critical piece.
Huge.
Because we know that if men come to Jesus, the likelihood of their family coming to Jesus and following him increases exponentially.
Absolutely.
I think the number is if you reach the men, 90% of their families will follow. If you reach just the children or the women, the number is much lower, like in the 30% or 40%, yeah, or maybe even less. But it's just huge. And so to go and to not address the men,
right,
and not work with the men is kind of a disservice, yeah, a little bit to that community.
Yeah.
So I'm excited about what the future holds for that.
Yeah. And that was the really cool thing is doing this church plant opened up this door of, hey, guys, y'all come and go do street evangelism. Help this church,
right,
grow.
Right.
And I know I never got to go walking with y'all because, mm-hmm, we were with Biashara. But if you even can, explain a little bit of what it was like walking around on the streets. Because some people are like, you just walked up to people you didn't know?
Yeah.
What'd you do? How'd that work? You know, you don't even speak the same language.
No, we don't. But thankfully, there's two national languages in Kenya, and it's Swahili and it's English.
Yes.
So a lot of the people do speak some level of English. Mm-hmm. Not all, but a lot of them do. But that's also why it was helpful to have one of our Kenyan brothers with us. Is if we did run into, mm-hmm, a language issue, then we had a translator with us. But, yeah, we just walked up and down the streets. From my understanding, the streets are new.
Very new.
I mean, these are actual paved streets, whereas
really
in
new
previous years when they've been very narrow pathways, mm-hmm, that were muddy, mm-hmm, dirty, mm-hmm, you know, potholes, all
which
this stuff.
It's also one of those things we look back when we went in 2023. We got there, and it was our first time after COVID not going for it. We got there, mm-hmm, in January of 2023. We landed on Saturday night. On Friday, the government had come and bulldozed through the middle, mm-hmm, of the school compound to make a road. And they hadn't told the school ahead of time because it's, listen, Kibera, nobody owns Kibera. And so you live there, you pay rent to somebody that's, yeah, the
government somehow.
The biggest guy in the, yeah, neighborhood that happens to be the one to say, you have to pay me to stay here, but you own nothing. And so the government can just say, we're going to do this.
Yeah. And they did.
And they did. And I mean, the path of homes they had bulldozed down, and then they went through the school compound and separated it, the cafeteria and the administrative offices and the nurse's office in Biashara, and all the kids, all the classrooms and all the thing were literally separated by this road. And it didn't turn into a road quickly.
Yeah.
They did it, and then it just kind of was there.
Wow.
It was devastating. But to see how the Lord has used it.
Oh, absolutely.
Is crazy.
Because didn't the new building come after,
yes,
that?
Yeah, because they tore down one of the school buildings. Yeah. In the process, one of the buildings got torn down. And so then they built the new building because of that.
Which is probably the nicest building in all of Kibera.
In all of Kibera. It's,
yeah,
lovely. And now it's so cool because now Kibera is literally at the front door of the school. Like you have to cross the road to go back and forth between the two places. And so again, God's timing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Doing that, causing that, then the church plant. And now literally you walk out in the streets there.
Yeah.
You could have just stood there.
Right.
And people would be coming by and have opportunity.
Right.
And that was not at all what it was in the past.
Yeah. Thankfully, we did have streets, and they were,
yeah,
very wide and open and easy to walk up and down. So, and it felt very safe, mm-hmm, and all that. But these streets are lined with shops. And, you know, when we say shops, we mean little bitty, you know, hole in the wall where they sell, mm-hmm, a lot of times they sell the same stuff. They sell,
yes,
either produce or meat or charcoal, or they fix electronics, which is,
oh, that's interesting.
It's, yeah,
okay.
I saw several electronic fix your phone,
okay,
type,
yeah,
stores.
Yeah. Yeah.
So anyway,
yeah,
but these shops line the streets, people, because there is no air conditioning. The shops are either completely open, mm-hmm, or people are sitting outside, mm-hmm, just because that's
hang
what
out.
They do.
Yeah.
Yeah. They hang out and they talk in groups. Mm-hmm. And so we stopped and talked with them.
Yeah.
And told them that Jesus loves them, shared the gospel with them. Most of them were very polite and welcoming and willing to listen, mm-hmm, which was awesome.
Yeah.
We had a few invite us into homes, which the homes Most of the homes are off of the main road a little bit. You just kind of go behind the shops. But I think it probably looks more like it used to, mm-hmm. with just kind of a maze of pathways. Yeah. And it, you know, it's similar to like an apartment building where you have one right next to the other, mm-hmm. where they're all connected. But the homes are, we got to go inside a few, and they're tiny. Yeah. You know, I told my family probably our breakfast room at yes. home is about the size of the entire home that multiple people sleep in.
They eat in, sleep in, yeah.
they do everything.
Yeah.
So, again, people welcoming, I think, was the probably one word that you could probably describe mm-hmm. the people
yes.
just universally with. But yeah, we walked for several hours
a day.
Y'all
got invited to a gym. Did you go to the gym?
I got in the very last little bit of
which
it.
Which I thought was so, when the guys came back, we would finish and all ride the bus back together, and they said, yeah, I went to this gym. And I was uh-huh. like, you went to a what?
Yeah, and when we say gym.
Right.
it's the Cabera version of a gym. It was a little bit larger than other rooms.
Okay.
But not. You know, don't think 24-hour
right.
fitness or
yeah,
anything
yeah.
like that. And it did have a few weight machines
okay.
or barbell-type uh-huh. setups. But again, don't think 24-hour fitness
right.
or anything.
Right, yeah.
But, yeah.
That's cool.
Guys were there exercising, and I think it's a business. Mm-hmm. You know, I think they
right.
rent this, you know, pay for the space
yeah.
or whatever. But yeah,
that's so cool.
And the guys that our guys that did go there, I mean, they just kind of held court and preached right there in the
yes.
gym, and it was awesome.
So
yeah,
it's cool. I think that's one thing that, and I'm sure we could dig into this, and we don't need to right this minute. But why is it easier to go to Cabera and walk the streets and walk up to people and say, "Do you know Jesus?"
Yeah.
And yet here, to think about going to Baybrook. And just walking the sidewalk and going, hey, do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus? Mm-hmm. That we go, oh, my gosh.
Mm-hmm.
And is it just because the culture is so very different? They are community-based. They are the most hospitable people mm-hmm. I've ever met. They are going to invite you into their home mm-hmm. where if we're having people over, we better know way in advance because we got to get things straight and clean. Like,
right.
you know, it's so different.
Yeah. I think that is part of it, the welcoming aspect of it, but also over there, it seems as though most people have heard of Jesus mm. and have heard of God, and they're not necessarily inundated like we are here with all the other religions of the world that have
really?
Converged here. And so now I feel
that's
like
interesting.
I feel like now when we go to talk to a stranger, go talk to someone, we've got to wade through the, oh, well, I believe this piece of this religion and I like this piece of this religion mm. and this. You got to kind of be mm-hmm. willing and ready to
yeah.
wade through all of that and decipher where's truth in all of that, in what they already believe
mm-hmm.
and to, you know, let the Holy Spirit work through you to,
right.
to help them figure that out. Whereas there, one, they've got nothing. They don't have a ton of other influence.
Right.
In fact, there's a lot of churches there in Cabera. There's
mm-hmm.
a ton of churches.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they may not be good churches.
True.
You know, theologically, they may have some questionable things
yep.
And some traditions and stuff that maybe are not okay. We did learn that there's a common thing over there where a lot of pastors have taken money in for the church but have chosen to use it mm-hmm. for their own good rather than for ministry. And so that's a barrier for mm-hmm. a lot of people over
yep.
there because they don't feel like they can trust
mm-hmm.
preachers.
I think that's probably true.
Yeah, I mean, obviously there's some places
yep.
here too.
Absolutely.
But over there, that was a very common
very.
Theme. So I think that's one of the things that this new church is going to have to kind of struggle and overcome
mm-hmm.
is building that trust with their people over there.
Right.
But I mean, talking to people was easy. Of course, they're not in a rush either.
That's another huge thing. It's a different time is different
you know,
over
for
there.
For them, working was literally sitting outside
right.
waiting for somebody to come by,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, on a work day when the workers are out away,
right.
there's not a lot of
mm-hmm.
traffic.
Right.
So they didn't have much else to
yeah.
do other than sit and talk.
Yeah.
So.
It, absolutely.
Yeah, there's a lot of
easier. It's just a very different culture. You know, I went to Texas A&M, and when you're walking across Texas A&M campus, you literally say howdy to every person
mm-hmm.
you pass by. Like, Aggies out there understand that this is true. Everyone else is like, that's crazy. But I mean, if you go visit A&M's campus, every single person that passes, you'll go, howdy,
yeah.
howdy, howdy, howdy. I mean, it's it is the culture that is Texas A&M. When we're in Cabrera and you're walking on the street, you speak to every person you pass. Every person looks at you. You say, good morning. How are you? The kids will just come up and hold your hands and run around with you. There just is that. Here you go to Target and you're like, eyes down. Don't, you know, and man, as believers, we shouldn't care what the culture is. Our culture should be based in our relationship with the Lord and what He's calling us to do.
Yeah.
So it's a challenge to us, we're, to all of us. We're here. This is where God put us. More than we're in Africa. Man, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
What's our next steps with who are we talking to? Are we looking up and saying hello to someone, even if they look at us like we're crazy? Because it's not based on their reaction. It's the God's called me to love people well.
You know, as we're sitting here talking about this, I'm remembering walking around with our Kenyan brothers. Some of them seemed a little bit hesitant to share. So I wonder if there's a just it's easier to do in another culture kind of a thing.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, because it's different.
Yeah.
It's taking a day out of your normal and doing something different. And so,
So.
Interesting. Yeah. All the things. Listen, this is these are things that mission trips will do to your heart.
Yeah, absolutely.
They will make you see things differently. They will make you think about things differently. There are so many opportunities here at Sagemont to go on mission.
Yeah. If you go to the events page right now, there is a whole list of mission trips coming up. And so we're talking about Kenya, but you could insert the country and tell some of the same stories,
absolutely.
I'm sure. Check them out. The missions team, I think, has tried to get the cost for the international trips to be around $2,000 or so.
Give or take,
So just, you know, as a ballpark that you can kind of keep in your head as you're thinking about and praying about whether to go.
Which is
it's not
going
to be $5,000 or $10,000 to go.
Inexpensive.
Yeah.
To fly to another country, to stay at a place that includes your housing and your food and everything you're doing, and then fly back home. I mean, it's very inexpensive.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you get to do, you get to share the gospel and just have an experience on those, on another, in another part of the world.
Absolutely.
It's pretty cool. So speaking of other parts of the world, so Levi shared a little bit of this story, but just about 2 days or so before we left to go to Kenya, through our online ministry, I get an alert that someone's trying to sign up for an online small group.
Was it that soon before we left?
It was.
I didn't know that. Yes. I didn't realize it was that quick. Okay.
Yeah, it was that week.
Wow.
And so in the comments or whatever, as he signed up, he said, I'm in Kenya. It's like, okay, well, that's great. And I did the math. And it's like, so I emailed him back, said, do you realize that this group meets at like 4 or 5 a.m. Kenya time? And he said, yeah, that's okay. I'm willing to do it. So, okay, well, we'll sign you up for it, and that's great.
And he just Googled it or
he
whatever.
He Googled it. It was a wild search. It was a situation. He had spent some time in the U.S. In college, ended up, because of visas and stuff, ended up back in Kenya. He's kind of searching for what's next for him. And just Googled for an online Bible study group, men's Bible study group. And
that's amazing.
God and Google made us come up on the front page, which was amazing. And so he took a chance, literally. He had no connection to us whatsoever. Took a chance, sent the sign up. And so... anyway, once he decided he was going to commit, and I realized, this is a real person, because sometimes we get some, and you know, they want something else. But I said, hey, we're in Kenya. I'm in Nairobi. Where are you? And he's lived by the airport in Nairobi. So we were able to get together, spend this Sunday together. Yeah. He came to church with us that day, and we're working on, we've got a plan. We just haven't made it happen just yet, but we've got a plan to do an online group with him and me and one of the guys who accepted the Lord in Kabera. So hopefully this will work out the next week or two, and we'll... you know, do some long-distance discipleship.
Yeah, it was so fun. I mean, he came and met us at church, and then he went to lunch with us and hung out.
Yeah.
Great guy.
Yeah, his name is Joash.
Yeah, which was so... I mean, it's those kinds of things. I think it's so interesting. People say, oh, those are such amazing stories. I wish I had experiences like that. Do a thing. Step out.
Yeah.
Like, God will show up.
That's nothing we could have planned.
No.
At all.
None of it. It's so fun. Y'all, look at the mission trips coming up.
Yeah.
There's, I mean, to Mexico, which of course you're not flying, so it's not far. So many of our trips, y'all, I bring women that are 80.
Yeah.
I think one of the guys is getting up there.
Yeah.
That close
in
that
the
went.
70s for sure.
Yeah. So it's not a physically easy trip, mm-hmm. but it's not impossible.
No. And now with paved roads and everything, yes. it's much easier than it was.
Yes. And so not every trip is for everybody, but there don't ever let things that you put as roadblocks be roadblocks until you really look into, is that, could I do it?
Yeah.
If God's calling you to it, follow the lead and see what that
absolutely.
Next step is.
Absolutely. So. And, you know, if finances are a roadblock, then there are ways around that. You
absolutely.
Know, through support of your friends, through mm-hmm. Sagemont scholarships, yep. a little bit of the trip fee mm-hmm. and all that. Mm-hmm. So there's ways around the finances, too.
Yep.
So if you're willing to go, find the time, find the one that fits your schedule, and start praying.
Come on. Listen, in the lobby on Sunday mornings, we have a missions booth. It's giant in the side of the lobby. There's always somebody there. They have the cards with all the different trips and the different information. You can stop by the booth, talk to somebody, get information, and see how you can get involved in missions. There's local missions, too. Lots of opportunity there as well.
Yeah, things you could do. You know, weekly.
Yes.
You could get involved in some of these things every week and
absolutely.
Be a part of it right here in Houston. Mm-hmm. So,
that go piece. We talked about the go mm-hmm. piece. It's super important to mm-hmm. be going. And so this is just one way. But
for sure.
I'm super thankful in all my years of getting to do this trip that God opened the door for y'all to come.
Yeah, I'm
so thankful.
Really glad too, because I think this. Now that we're all able to go together, I think it's going to open the doors to bigger and greater God things there. So I'm excited
so
about that. Yeah.
Yeah. It's super
for
fun.
Sure.
It's super fun. Listen, if you are interested at all in this trip in January, mm-hmm. let us know. We know it seems far away.
It does, but we're saying it now. In January.
We're going in
so
January.
So start planning.
That's right. Start looking at, can I take off work? How much money do I need to raise?
We don't have the dates
and
costs yet, but that'll come.
We'll
but
get
you
there.
Can kind of have that in the back of your head that January, it's generally about a 9-day trip or so.
Mm-hmm.
Ish.
Yep.
This time it fell kind of in the middle of 2 weeks, so it felt like it was a 2-week trip.
A little bit. We left on a Tuesday, got back on a Thursday.
Yeah.
So
that was maybe a little different, but mm-hmm. it's generally about 9 days, a couple $1,000 or so. Mm-hmm.
We have a lot of fun.
It is good.
We have a lot
it's
of fun.
It's a long plane ride.
It is a long plane ride, but you
but
get through
okay.
it and you do it. And I will tell you, it is, we have such a good time and it is such a fill and it is, I love getting to do, but also at the same time, it is difficult. It is there. I mean, I cry every time I go at some point in my room, probably by myself at night, because it is one of those things that makes you say, Lord, why did you put me where you put me at the time you put me?
Yeah.
Because one of the things I have learned is, we didn't get to decide when we were born or where we were born.
No.
That is completely in God's control.
Absolutely.
And so having to look, and God is a good God all the time, everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So he chose for me to be born in Alvin, Texas in 1975 and be where I am right now, just like he chose my friends in Cabrera to be born when they were born, where they were born, living the life that they lived. And neither of those are bad because God is not.
No. And you see that. I mean, God is God in both places.
Yes.
And we have problems where we need God in both places.
100%.
And so that really kind of, you see that firsthand when you put that together over there. And it's really cool.
Yeah. It will change you. It will in the best of ways. The best of ways. Like I said, if you have questions, reach out to us. Look for how you can get involved in sharing the gospel here, locally, around the world.
Yep.
It's a super exciting thing. It's God told us to do it.
Yep,
it's what
absolutely.
We're supposed to do.
Let's
so
go.
Thanks for hanging out.
Yeah, for sure.
Super fun. Thanks for every week, even when people can't see you. But listen, go back, listen to previous Table Talks. We had Levi and Chuck Davenport, and we've mm-hmm. got other fun ones coming up that we have planned.
Yep.
So join us on Table Talk each Thursday at noon. We will see you next time.
See ya.